Praise the Lord, church. The Lord never ceases to amaze. Thank you, Pastor, for entrusting this sacred desk to me. I take it very serious. And it is an honor for me to impart the Word of God unto the children of God. We truly are a privileged people. I have a feeling a lot of us, if we weren't a part of the family of God, we'd be somewhere else on a Wednesday night. And it probably wouldn't be for the betterment of our souls. We really are miracles. Would you turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, the 4th chapter? We'll go back to this later, but I'm just going to read a few scriptures, and then we are also going to go to Acts, the 26th chapter. Luke, the 4th chapter, and this is Jesus in Nazareth as he went into the synagogue and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And verse 20 says, "And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." I think that's a great place to have your eyes fastened, would be on Jesus. And that's why we're here tonight, to fasten our eyes on Jesus and to hear from Jesus. And verse 21 says, "And he began to say unto them, this day," say that with me, "this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And then if you'll go to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, and this was Paul speaking in front of Agrippa. Of course, they didn't like what Paul was teaching and preaching, and he was speaking of what had happened to him in his life and what the change was. And in verse 22, he says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day I know that it's by the help of God that we continue each and every day. We wouldn't be who we are unless it was for him. Witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He's saying, all I'm teaching is what was taught from the very beginning. But I'm laying it out in a way that for some reason doesn't seem so pleasant to you. And then jumping down to verse 29. And Paul said, because Agrippa told him, almost, we heard this just a week or so ago, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds, these shackles. I want you to know that this day has been ordained by God. We are here for a purpose. Every time we come to the house of the Lord, we are here for a purpose, to strengthen and instruct and encourage and enlighten. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, for your word, O God. And I pray tonight in this place, O God, Lord, that hearts would be changed, that minds would be opened. Lord, that there would be revelation that would flow in this room, O God, and that we would leave here encouraged. And Lord, that we would be the witnesses you have called us to be in this world. Lord, let us be light in this world of darkness. In Jesus' name. Before you're seated, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I am not speaking to a problem here tonight. I am speaking something that the Lord has put on my heart that I think we can all benefit from. It's an instruction. It's a be careful. It's a watch for. It's a let's pay attention to what's going on around us. The house of God should be the highest esteemed destination for a child of God to frequent. In a world where we love cheeseburgers, and I love to go there, and I love to do that. And all of a sudden, I love the house of God, I love the things of God, and things can be dumbed down almost. In a world that is intent on running to and fro, the church must remain focused on the things and places that will strengthen us spiritually. So many voices and so many things there are outside that want to speak to us and distract us and draw us away. But the house of God is important. When the doors of the house of God are open, the children of God should be there. I may be speaking to somebody tonight that's watching this message from their home that used to be here. And I'm speaking to who that ever may be with love. And saying, in the Word of God, He calls us to gather ourselves together. I know there's reasons and situations that we can't be here. But when people make a conscious decision that I'm not going to go tonight. I'm just so much going on. That's the time that you need to be in the house of God. When the battery in the shaver goes down, when the battery in the car, you know, I would bet that each and every one of us in this room tonight has put forth some extra effort to make it to work because we needed to get there because, after all, we have bills to pay. But something comes up in our life before we're going to go to the house of God and, oh, man. I am speaking in love. Because the Lord loves us so much. He wants his children to be together so that he can impart upon them and instruct them and encourage them so that we do not get weak in this world that wants to drain us. How many have been reading in the book of Proverbs? I think it's been awesome. And I want to start there tonight in Proverbs, the 9th chapter. I want to read 3 verses that I believe just go along with what's here, and I believe we will be encouraged. I promise you, I won't be long. Proverbs 9:1 says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts," verse 2. "She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city." See, Scripture tells us that before the worlds were formed, she was there, or wisdom was there. And the Lord wants his children to be a part of his wisdom and his understanding. In that first verse, that word "builded" means to build or begin to build, literally or figuratively to obtain children or make or repair or set up, to establish, cause to continue, to build a house or establish a family. You see, this is a parallel of the house of God, the family of God. Notice, wisdom hath builded her house. The child of God has made a conscious decision that that's where they will be. When the house of God is opened, that's where the child of God will be. It's a part of my DNA. It's a part of my pattern. When we read tonight from the book of Luke, Jesus was in the synagogue. It was his, Scripture says, his custom. It was what he did. Now, both wisdom and folly are pictured as having a house in these verses of Scripture in the 9th chapter of the book of Proverbs. But folly uses her house to seduce her victims with things that are forbidden. But wisdom has a house to which she invites pupils for instruction. Wisdom's house has, notice, 7 pillars. The number 7 symbolizes divine fullness or perfection. It also can represent the 7 days of creation, the week of. He rested on that seventh day, but we know that what God did was perfect. He had a plan from the very beginning. And that's what wisdom builds her house on, is what God has established. Are you with me so far? So, two houses. Folly seduces. You have to turn into it. You have to listen to something and go in the wrong direction. Perfection and completeness are what the Lord is all about. By stating wisdom's house has seven pillars, it is suggesting that the creation of the whole universe was perfect, according to the way God planned it. And so the Word of God totally furnishes and perfects the saints of God as well. Now, that word house in the first verse of Proverbs 9 is a dwelling or a habitation, a palace or a temple, human bodies, an abode of light and darkness, family of descendants. And so, this house established by the Lord and His teachings is a place that is set up for us to grow, to increase, to understand, to gain wisdom in the things of God. Notice verse 2, she hath killed her beasts, or cut off those things of destruction that can only bring problems into our lives. Anybody get rid of some beasts when you came to the truth? Were there some things we had to put away? Wisdom hath killed her beasts, mingled her wine, or separated from the vile to the new wine, or to the good, to the peaceful. And then furnished her table. She hath set in order her life and furnished herself to be used as something set forth for the king to be pleased with. Meat for the master's table. You and I, witnesses who can proclaim the kingdom. We've heard it tonight. Private use or sacred. And verse 3, she has sent forth her maidens, or the bride of Christ, going forth and speaking the good things of God to others. And into the Most High, crieth upon the highest places of the city, or invite, or call, or proclaim, or preach, or publish. Highest in altitude, or elevated, that word highest means, most high of nobles. The house of God should be esteemed the highest by us. This is a place where God meets us and changes lives and situations. How we esteem the house of God, or the place or sanctuary where God meets with us, is important. And it should be a joy to walk through the doors. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And as we enter into his house with this attitude of heart, we can always expect great things to happen, as we should expect great things from our God, who is a great God. Amen. He is a this day God. Right. He wants to do something for each and every one of us in this place this day. I appreciate our pastor, how many times I've heard in the last couple of weeks where it's not far off. It's not something that's going to happen. It is happening, and it will happen, and it will continue to happen. He's a this day God. And he'll be in tomorrow. But there's something that he wants to do this day for you and I. Let's go back to the book of Luke, the 4th chapter. And we'll start at verse 16. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what we're built on, church. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the broken in heart, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. Do you know that we are the New Testament priesthood? And we are the ministers that the Lord has given this book to. And wherever we work, wherever we go, God has a mission field for each and every one of us. And everything mentioned here that the Lord was anointed to do now becomes a part of our life as well. We are the body of Christ. We are possessing his Spirit within us. And he has given us the power and the ability to go forth with this gospel. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Yes, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know, let me just go back to Proverbs for a minute. Verses 2 and 3, if you look at those verses, sent forth the maidens and killed the beasts and cut off those things of destruction and furnished her table, sent forth her maidens, cried upon the high places. These two verses almost parallel the parable of Jesus that he taught on the wedding banquet, where he had a people that he bid to the banquet, but they made up some pretty lame excuses not to come. His people. One had to go to the farmland. All the excuses not to come. And these were his special people. And I believe that there's a warning there for each and every child of God. We are his children, his people. And that spirit, there is that spirit that a little folding of the hands, a little sleep, a little slumber, and all of a sudden, boy, the flesh loves to be pampered, doesn't it? And so Jesus says, this day, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? How many times have we come in this place? The anointed men of God have taught the word of God, and the scripture has come forth and was fulfilled in your life or my life or your life. Maybe you were healed. Maybe a situation was taken care of in your life. Yes. The word of God is still being fulfilled in the ears of his people. Is it important for us to be here? Yes, it is. What we hear sustains us. It teaches us. It instructs us. Healed, restored. Somebody had their sins washed away. Where? In the house of the Lord. Yes, the church baptizes. The church applies the blood in the waters of baptism. The word of God fulfilled in the house of God. Is it important to be there? Yes, it is. When we earnestly seek him, he shows up. Deuteronomy 5:1 says this, and Moses called to all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears. This day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The man of God, the anointed man of God, speaks the word of God to the people and warns them on the importance of applying those instructions to their life, living by them and doing them. God has always had a mouthpiece. And he still does. And he still expects for his children to show up when his word is being declared. When Jesus stood up on that last day of the feast and he proclaimed, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given, because that Christ was not yet glorified. But there would be a thirst, and we would have to approach him. And that's what happens in the house of the Lord. If we earnestly seek him, he shows up. If there's a thirst, he'll quench it. See, at that feast when he stood up and spoke for 8 days or said, they would draw water, and he knew that this water, just like the woman at the well, that water would make her thirst again. This was not going to solve the problem. It's the living water. It's the new wine. And it still flows in the house of the Lord. And he still speaks to anointed men of God to speak to his children. And we can never listen to the voice that tells us it's not necessary, you don't need to be there. Zacchaeus had a thirst. Scripture says that he did something. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who he was. And when he put it to his heart that he wanted to see Jesus, guess what? He saw Jesus. How many times have you and I left this place, and literally we saw Jesus working in the service? We felt his touch. We heard his voice, and he changed our lives. That is no little thing. Go with me, if you would, to Luke, the 19th chapter. Verse 1 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans." He was the biggest of the big as far as tax collectors. And they didn't care much for him. Some things never change. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. Not only did they not like the guy, but do you think he ever took a little verbal heat for maybe being a little guy? Had a lot of money, but people hurt people with their mouth. But something was going on inside him, and he needed a change in his life. And something must have been said that he got it in his mind that I need to see this Jesus. Because he can probably do something for me that'll change me. So if the battery dies, listen, find a way to church, because we need to get to this place because Jesus can do something for our situation. And so the Bible says that he sought Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before, and he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that day. If I could only see Jesus. Anybody ever walk into this place saying, if I could only see Jesus? Troubled with the pressures of life or a situation or a health problem perhaps. And when he came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the Bible says he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, you know who they are, the wet blankets. They all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, notice, when you get in the presence of the Lord, he draws things out of you that he knows aren't good for you. Like the woman at the well, man, she told him everything. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold." You know what? When a man starts reaching for his wallet to make things right, you know something's changed in his life. And Jesus said unto him, "This day salvation, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Abraham. You know what? We receive the same thing here. You see, you and I, there was a time in each and every one of our lives where we needed to see Jesus. Nothing could help us. Our life was a failure. Stressed out, burned out. You fill in the blank. But every one of us went to the tree. We turned our life in the direction of Calvary. We went to the cross. And we saw Jesus like we never saw him before. And when we met him at the tree, salvation came into our life as well. Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, but ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Sounds like the same thing he said to Zacchaeus. Son of Abraham, a tax collector, a sinner. But yet, when he met Jesus, his life was changed. How many in this room has had your life changed or redirected in the house of God? By the word of God. Yes. From the instruction of the man of God. Like Peter, when now he was anointed or endued with that power and he put his finger in their chest and told them they were responsible for crucifying him, and it went forth with power and anointing to the point where they asked him, "What must we do?" The word of God changes hearts. The church applies the blood. Because of Calvary, we all have hope. Put your hope in Jesus. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The scriptures proclaimed him. Paul said it. Look, all I'm teaching is what was taught from the very beginning. You just don't like my method. But Christ was weaved through all the scriptures. When he talked to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says that he went back to Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and he pointed out to them or opened the scriptures the things concerning himself. John 1 and 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That lamb was talked about in Genesis 22 and 8. Abraham said to Isaac, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. Revelation 13 and 8 says he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the worlds. And this is that Jesus that Zacchaeus met and that you and I met, and he changed his life and he changed our lives. And God is asking the church, his body, to go forth and change the lives of others with his word. So I'm teaching a Bible study right now, and there's a man in that Bible study, and I feel like I'm watching one of my children grow up and take steps to the point where he shared with me that he heard the voice of God. He was distracted, and God said, Walk forth and sing to me. In the house of God, walk forth and sing to me. And just a week ago, he had the strength in his heart to tell God right here, I'm ready to go to the next level. The Lord told him he had something for him. Isn't it amazing when you see your children walk and you see them take steps and you see their hands go in the air? And that night, I watched this man tremble and weep. And he told me that there was a heat that came over his body, and it almost scared him at first. He didn't know what was going on. It was a next level hug. He felt the heat and the warmth of the Lord embrace him in the house of the Lord. How many things happen here that we wouldn't trade for anything, but yet the enemy wants to discourage and distract and keep us. Let's go to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and I'm just about done. You see, the house of the Lord is important. There's those that haven't bought into it yet, but it's simply because they don't know. And then there's those that just lost their zealousness, and all of a sudden it's not that important anymore. But through prayer and encouragement, we just heard it a few messages ago. If the body of a dead man can touch the bones of a prophet, and it can bring him back to life, what can the children of God and prayer do to someone who's cold in their soul? Matthew 27. And we are going to look at the 15th verse, start at the 15th verse. Now at that feast, and this of course is shortly before they crucified the Lord, shortly before he went to the tree. And by the way, in that 27th chapter, just as a little side note, verse 4, verse 19, and verse 3, or I'm sorry, verse 24. So verse 4, verse 19, and verse 24 all bring forth the fact that he was an innocent man. It talks about his innocency. But he went through with what he needed to do because he had a bigger plan. And you sitting here tonight was a part of that plan. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, they were gathered together. Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? Look at verse 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He was reigning on their parade of religion and tradition. Can you imagine raising the dead, healing the blind and the lame, feeding the multitudes, all the things Jesus did? This guy's a problem. We got to get rid of this. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream concerning him. Don't think heaven wasn't aware of what was going on. Don't think that the Lord can't speak to the minds and the hearts of those people you don't know how you're going to reach. A dream sent to the king's wife. She was troubled about this whole thing going on. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this just person. See ye to it. Then they answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Pilate, willing to content the people, they called for his blood out of hatred. But he gave it up in love. And because of that, there was one set loose, set free. A vile lifestyle, guilty of murder and revelings and God knows what else he was involved in. But he was set free. His love changes us. Zacchaeus, if you look up that name, Zacchaeus means pure. That's not what they thought of him. That's not what he lived when he was in the world. But when salvation came to his house, he went from vile to pure and became a son of Abraham or an heir of the promise. Barabbas means son of a father or master, a murderer, corrupt life, a prisoner put away, but because of Jesus, he was set free. Each and every one of us lived our lives with a death sentence. But yet, because we met this Jesus, because we had this blood applied to us and our sins were washed, and he filled us with his Spirit and changed our life, he set us on a different path. And now we can be pure. We can be sons of the Master or sons of the Father. All because of one who in love gave his life for you and I. If the musicians would come, and if you'll stand with me tonight. The love of Christ is endless. And the house of God has got to have a value on it that far exceeds any other pull in this world. You see, here we are in communion with the love of God. Love has hands to help others. It has feet to hasten to the poor and the needy. It has eyes to see misery and want and reach out and do something about it. It has ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of broken mankind. This is what love looks like. And the Lord has imparted his love in each and every one of our hearts when he gave us his Spirit. As a matter of fact, he loves us so much that he's given us a place where we can be reassured and instructed time after time, and maybe healed and maybe changed. We can see our family come. They were doing it in days of old. The man of God was speaking to the children of God. And he's still doing it in the year 2023 and however long he tarries. And this is the place where we hear it. This is where the child of God comes. But each and every one of us know somebody that needs to sit here with us and experience the same thing that you and I have access to. In Jesus' name. Lord, right now in this place, you have been so good to us. Lord, you have imparted so much love and grace and mercy on our lives. And I pray, Lord, tonight, this day, Lord, that you would speak to each and every heart in this place. Lord, a name, a desire that you have for them to reach into darkness and bring someone to this light, O God. Lord, you have us all strategically placed in this world. And we have what they're looking for. Lord, direct us. Guide us. And we'll give you the glory as lives are changed, as families are repaired. In Jesus' name, would you come to this altar and would you let the Lord speak to you in this place? Oh God.